Hello and welcome to the Essential B2B Podcast. I am your host, Joe Ducaro. And for this episode, I was joined by Senior Events Manager for Lead Forensics, Melissa Glass. Melissa runs all the events and webinars for Lead Forensics. And in this chat, we get into how she got started in events, which are her favourite to work, and how they're a whole team effort. So please enjoy this episode of the Essential B2B Podcast with Melissa Glass. How did you get started working in events?
So my parents are quite social people. So my childhood was sort of always attending lots of different events in different places, I guess. And I'm quite a visual person and learner. So I slowly just started doing bits of serving, doing a bit of bar work, then going on to wonder who planned sort of the deliveries. How did people know what they wanted to eat? Who made it look good before everyone showed up, kind of thing. I did some shadowing, got into a lot more of the logistics side and project management side, gained as much experience as I could, worked for free a lot. I got to know the practical elements of events and the role, which I now love, really.
Bringing it sort of up to date with, you know, the events that you do for Lead Forensics and things. What's your favourite event to work at?
It's got to be the big expos. It's although I'm partial to obviously organising the odd social outing, there's nothing more satisfying than building something from the ground up, taking a step back on build day and thinking, this used to be an empty blank space, and an empty canvas when it was booked. So especially the stands that we've been putting together recently, inspired by our head office. It's a little step back from the corporate look. It opens up the conversation and piques people's interest quite a lot more. Obviously, for those that haven't seen it, it's quite a floral display with bright lights. So it's quite visually appealing. And they also sort of bring a big team across the business together, which I enjoy being part of that cog that, you know, is part of the bigger picture. So from the on-site team to the team back in the office to the people that process the data, take the calls, the guys that speak and sit the opportunities when they're back from the event, you know, it's not just kind of show up and do your thing, although we obviously do, because that's what we're good at. Events are part of a much more bigger ecosystem that brings together the whole company, and not everyone always recognises that.
Mm. And if you are unfamiliar with our stand, I've got to point you in the direction of Lead Forensics Socials, because it's this huge floral wall with big neon pink writing. It stands out against everything else in the expo hall.
Sweets. We've got
lots of free sweets.
Yeah, it's a nice looking stand. Yeah, we're proud of it.
So what then is there one big challenge you consistently come up against in the world of events, or is it lots of little minor things?
Yeah, I wouldn't say there is one consistent challenge necessarily, as adaptability and versatility are kind of key traits to events in their industry. Tracking last minute changes in the heat of the moment can be somewhat tricky, I would say. I've phrased it events brain, where you're so on it, so deeply involved in an event, you know, multitasking your mind off, so to say. You know, once your adrenaline releases on the last day after breakdown, remembering every little thing you changed on site to make it easier, or do it this way next time, it'll save you time or, you know, energy or this, that, and the other. Documenting those key learnings that you can take forward into an event debrief, you know, where you document and say sometimes they can be missed. Thankfully, being a visual kinesthetic learner, as I've mentioned, I'm quite good at remembering, hang on a minute, we did it like this last time, the next time I come to do it. But I appreciate that's not good in helping kind of other people that have not done it before. So if anyone has any, you know, tips or tricks on mastering the art of the event brain, then please let me know.
Yeah, it takes an enormous amount of focus and energy, like all through, particularly like multi-day events as well, doesn't it? Absolutely. It's you're constantly just brain ticking and ticking and ticking, and at the same time you're presenting, you're having conversations with people, you get people interested in the product. Yeah, it's a lot to remember. So what then, I wonder, what do you love about your industry, Melissa? What would you change about it?
I love that I get to meet new people and grow powerful networks quite quickly. And obviously traveling the world is a bonus. There's nothing quite like face-to-face networking and building new relationships that brings the human element into the B2B side, to the B2B side. And of course, I love the creative side of it. I think I'm quite good at thinking on my feet and remaining calm in situations. So especially when something goes wrong. So I'm quite a good person to have around in an emergency, depending on potentially the emergency. But when it comes to events, I'm pretty on it, I like to think. Something that I would change, which is interesting. Obviously, events was not a safe industry to be in during the pandemic. However, I was quite fortunate in the fact I was working in a role that supported NHS estates and facilities side. So the people, not necessarily the doctors and nurses, the people that were supporting the doctors and nurses, making sure they had all their equipment and, you know, they had all the facilities and things like that, and all the vaccination centres that got created. So it's great to see that events have, you know, finally bounced back, not quite fully to where they are, but they're getting there. And it also seems that we're always struggling with the terminology of our industry quite a lot. The word event is not necessarily really what we do anymore. I think we create experiences, not just externally, but internally too. So from the staff that attend to how it looks internally to your company, as well as the first impression it makes to prospects. So I suppose to me, the difference between an event and an experience is that an event is a one-off moment in time, whereas an experience is a whole campaign that really builds a community of interest around the subject or topic that we're potentially promoting, because obviously we've got different offers that we do per event and per webinar. So, of course, the event itself is a huge important aspect of that. And there's a lot of different parts that come up. It doesn't just happen overnight. But as an industry, I think we're much more complex and diverse with many more reasons, you know, connections, stakeholders that make up that ecosystem that I mentioned earlier. So, yeah.
You're absolutely right. It's easy to mistake an event as being, as you say, like a one moment in time, but actually, you know, you and I know it's a colossal team effort to get it all, you know, working smooth and running smoothly. So yeah, no, that's a fantastic answer. You mentioned traveling the world. Do you have a favorite place that your job's taken you
to date? I think it's a 50-50 between Atlanta and San Diego. I really enjoyed both of them. So, yes, very much so.
It's going to be an interesting one, I think. What's your greatest achievement? That can be personal or professional.
It's got to be, to date, buying my house. It's been a long, painful process, especially with the financial woe that's going on in the world at present. But I have been saving for a house ever since I was 18. And it's always been a goal of mine to own a house before I'm 30. And I'm pleased to say that I've achieved it. So yeah, I would say owning my house. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Congratulations. That is a monumental achievement, as you say, in today's climate as well. But the fact that you've been saving for, you know, since you were 18, yeah, that's incredible. Yeah. Smashing. Lovely stuff. Who inspires you?
It's really hard to pin down one specific person. I'm fortunate enough to kind of be surrounded by powerful leaders, which the majority are female. But the tenacity and the way they handle business inspires me every day, because I class myself as I'm going to be a career woman now and moving forward. And I aspire to, one, be in their shoes one day. So kind of gunning for the positions, you know. But also looking forward to being the leader that they're kind of teaching me and carving me out to be. So, yeah, I mean, I like to look at anyone in a senior position, especially a lot of, you know, it's a lot of managers and a lot of people that you work under and work quite closely with that you you think, oh, I really like how you've handled that, or oh, I think I would handle it like this, and you kind of you learn a lot quite quickly, especially, you know, the higher up that you go within a company. And so, yeah, I'd say all my senior leaders around me inspire me in different ways every day, which is probably a bit cliche, but there we go.
Hey, listen, they're cliches for a reason, because a lot of the time they just make sense and, really? And they're true. So I think that's absolutely fine. What motivates you? The start of your day, start of your week. What gets Melissa out of bed every morning?
Obviously, don't mean to sound like a broken record, but my house, obviously, because, you know, gotta keep that mortgage paid. My little fair child, who is my dog, Daisy Glass. So I work hard so she can have a great life. I'm a people person, so I really enjoy being in the office. And we work in such a social environment here at Lead Forensics, so I really enjoy coming into the office. Working from home is a nice, it's nice to have the option, but coming into a professional environment where you can get stuff done, leave it here as well, have the separation of that home work-life balance, especially with the events lifestyle career choice, definitely helps.
You touched on it there, on decompression and leaving your work at the office. So I wonder what methods do you employ? How do you decompress from your work, and how important is that divide for you?
Yeah, definitely. It 100% important just in any sort of industry and career. But I swim and participate in yoga quite frequently. They're great ways to fully take my mind off of things, because I feel like I'm focusing on my breathing and only my breathing. So that's quite an escapism, I would say. The divide is definitely important. As I said, with events, you go through high and low periods. So, you know, we have Mad March, and then it dips a bit in the summer, and then back in Q4, it peaks again. It's not constant. However, we're always busy. And when it is busy, I can spend 2-3 weeks away from home in a month. Which can be tough at times, but it's a lifestyle choice. And I love it. But having time off, booking time off, is important. You know, looking to start pre-planning all my 2023 holiday in 2022, so that, you know, when we've got the peaks, I know it's okay because I've got this amount of time booked off after, and our 2023 is shaping up really nicely. So I'm looking forward to be able to plot it all in.
It's interesting what you say about doing something that means you focus more on your breathing. We've had several people on previously, like Ollie Biddle and Paul DiCaro, said this quite recently. When your mind is forced to concentrate on sort of the moment that you're completely in, like, okay, my next breath has to come in and then it has to go out and all that sort of thing, they said that that's when they do a lot of problem solving as well. Just things, just like if the answer doesn't appear to them straight away, having done that, when they then next sit at their desk or stand at their desk, whatever, the solution just appears to them. Is that the same with you then?
I think it is that. I think you can think of things a lot clearer once you're, it's all about being calm and you know, having the click, now having the space to think. Whereas, you know, when you are in the office, you can have people pop into your office, you can have people knock on the door saying, can I have 5 minutes of your time when you're in the middle of a task? I mean, when you're in an area where you are focusing, you have your alone time, you're focusing on yourself, thinking about things a lot clearer is a lot easier than being in an environment where, you know, you've got a lot of distraction. I think it's a bit different actually, because where I'm on site and things go wrong, you know, the hustle and bustle and things like that, you do have to think on your feet a lot. So I wouldn't necessarily say, I would say I'm able to decompress a lot more when I'm on my own, which obviously I appreciate everyone is. And I do a lot of my problem solving on site. So, but it is easier to come away and think once you've got the headspace and you're away from that environment, oh, okay, next time I'm gonna do it like this instead of this, and yeah. So I would say there is some truth in that, yeah.
Yeah, and 100%. I mean, I'm not sure anyone's ever gone for a swim or done yoga or whatever, and then come out of it feeling worse than when they went in. So, Alyssa, it's been really nice just having a little chat with you here today. I wonder if there's one top tip that you'd like to give to the Essential B2B podcast listeners. What would that be?
Events are experiences. Both internally and externally, you know, it's the perception of each stakeholder that event organisers need to consider when we're curating them. So whether that's organisers, staff, exhibitors, reporting to other departments, you know, there's a lot more to events than showing up and just having a good time. The team behind the scenes, making sure the equipment is ready, making sure it's clean, you know, all your staff are briefed and okay. Your internal infrastructure is really, really important, and it can make or break, you know, the success of an event sometimes. So the one team momentum is something that I really enjoy. I'm fortunate to experience regularly. So if there's people out there that are thinking they can improve on their internal processes to make their external perception a lot better, then definitely prioritize that in 2023, because if you've got the team behind you, then yeah, you'll be flying. Yeah.
Melissa Glass, thank you so much for joining me on the Essential B2B podcast.
Thanks, Joe.